You know, we are extremely blessed. I was out walking this morning. As I was walking, I was listening to a teaching from Robert Morris at Gateway Church, which we just came back from the Gateway Conference. And as I got through listening to it, it was a great message about, you know, where is your refuge? Where do you run to for help? And where do you go to for strength? And as I'm listening to it, thinking to myself, you know, yeah, this is a great message, and it ties in kind of with talking with prayer today, because, you know, are we turning to the Lord, and is that the place we're going, or are we going somewhere else? But I also think to myself, you know, it's pretty amazing. I'm going to do a teaching this morning, which came from, a good part of the teaching came from a pastor at Saddleback Church. I'm listening to another pastor at Gateway Church, and I am hearing, while I'm taking a walk, while I'm just relaxing in my home, I am hearing some of the greatest teaching going on right now. And I don't have to go anywhere. We live in an amazing time and an amazing society in which we can take advantage of so many things, if we will, for God's kingdom. So I just wanted to share that thought with you, because that really came to me this morning, that we are just in an amazing generation. As much as we think, you know, about end times and the problems that are in the world and Las Vegas and the things that happened, recognize, too, that God takes the things of this world and uses them for his best. So, any of you ancient enough to remember the days before the internet? Boy, I got my new cassette tape of teaching just came in the mail. So exciting. So a lot of what I share with you this morning came from a teaching from Saddleback Church and Pastor Buddy Owens, and I want to let you know that. Oh, they're always free to say at Saddleback, feel free to steal our stuff. And so we do. Talking about prayer this morning. And you know the idea what's to pray? God's idea. And Jesus outlines some of the stuff to us. Prayer thing is not something where we're like, oh, you know what, maybe I can talk to God or not. He says, no, talk to me. I want you to talk to me. I want you to talk to me so much that I'm going to repeat again and again and again and again in Scripture, talk to me. I need you to talk to me. And so you ask those questions, why does God want us to talk to him? Why? He doesn't need us, does he? Well, you know what? He set it up, so yes, he does. He wants to partner with us in prayer. Here's a radical thought for you, a thought to put into your mind. Do you realize some things never happen because we didn't pray? That's a radical thought. When you think about a sovereign God, how some things never happened when we never prayed. And how that all works into God's sovereignty is a long theological discussion. But let me just say that. And let me tell you this, too. Think about this. If you have a problem, if you have an issue, if you have something you're dealing with, and you fail to pray about it first, that's not the first place you run to, you don't go there, it's kind of a prayer in itself. It's a prayer that says, nope, don't really need you, God. Got it covered. No problem. My own power. I got this covered. Because that is our tendency. You know, why did Satan get cast out of heaven? Yeah, he wanted to be like God. And we, too, are subject to that same sin. Trying to take God's place and answer our own prayers rather than giving them to the one who can answer all prayers. I'm going to talk this morning about the purpose, practice, and power of prayer. And I got to pull my notes here because I tried to print something and it didn't cooperate with me as much as I wanted it to cooperate with me. When I was listening to Pastor Buddy's, he bought up this, the Aegeus system. Now, you understand, I grew up a Navy kid. And my father was a contracts officer back in the 60s and 70s and early 80s at Point Mugu Naval Weapons Test Center. And just down the street from me, from the naval base, was a Raytheon facility. Now, I'll tell you, when you went to the naval base, and, you know, I had an ID, so when I was a kid, you know, you went to the naval base, you know, I show my little badge and, you know, drive on through, or had an officer sticker on, so if it happened to be the right day, somebody would actually salute me. You know, that was kind of fun as a kid. But I'll tell you, if you drove down the Raytheon facility, and it was a little street, and I only did it one time, and you drove down to that Raytheon facility, you drove down in the general area of that Raytheon facility, there would be guards that would step out, fully armed. And they just watch you. See if you turned around and you were on the wrong place. Because they were guarding something secret. And I realized, as I thought back, my dad, who was the contracts officer, would be over at Raytheon sometime, he was probably involved in the evolution of the Aegis system, because the year I graduated high school was the year it was first tested. And I thought that was a pretty cool tie-in. 73, in case you're wondering. But anyhow, it was a long time ago. Now, the Aegis system is a command control system. It all comes into this control room in a ship. I want to tell you, this is on a number of ships. It's usually in battle groups. And what this system does, I want to tell you too, it's set. And you ever wonder what's protecting Hawaii from North Korea? It's this system. Okay? This system, when it originally involved, was designed to look out 100 miles, track up to 100 targets, and not only track them, but have the ability to destroy up to 100 targets coming in at a battle group. Okay? From what I can understand now, it looks over 200 miles out and can destroy over 250 targets. Track and destroy over 250 targets. Ballistic missiles aren't too much for it. Submarines, much for it. It is what protects our battle groups out there. And, you know, it's a complex system. This is a schematic of how it works. I know you guys can understand. There's a couple words in there that I get, you know, sonar, harpoon, you know, Mark 15, 20 millimeter, you know. But right in the center of all, is the SPY-1 radar. The Aegis display system, which we were looking at. Now, SPY-1 radar is the coolest thing in the world. So think of the old radars. You think of it. You know, there's this thing that's up there, and it goes around like this. So how often are you not looking at the enemy? Maybe you're the other way, because that's the way radars used to be. And no matter how fast you spin them, when something's traveling at supersonic levels, it was hard to track them. So they had to develop a way to watch all around the ships. So think about that. 200 miles around, they can watch all of this. What an amazingly powerful system. And so a ship uses a whole bunch of different things. You know, a vertical launch system, a GIS display system, fire control system, radar system, command and control system, operational, you know, weapons control. It just goes on. And that ship has great ability to do three things. Three things that it does is it provides armor, protection, okay? It stops something. It commands weapons to go back out and do something. And it's all based upon a strategy that's developed within the control room of how threats. Now, the ship system, this system, reminds us of another system. A system defined in Scripture. This system. I have to tell you, I'm with my grandkids. And this is their evening ritual with Mom and Dad. Okay? They sit down with Mom and Dad, and it's, okay, we're all ready for bed? Okay, it's time to put on our armor. So it's like, kids, come on. On our belt. Come on, do it with me. Buckle on our belt. Our belt of truth. Okay. Let's put on our breastplate of. What is this? Very good. You're doing pretty good here, you know. We're going to shod our feet with. Okay. We're going to take up the shield of. Which we can counter all of the devil's schemes and darts. I always love it when my daughter says that. We're going to take up the sword. And we're going to put on the helmet of. You know. So every night that I was there, I got to go through that with the kids. And I'm like, my gosh, I'm doing it at home now. I was like, that's just plain fun. So I think it's wonderful. But you know, one thing about the armor of God, you were designed to wear it all the time. See, the armor of God is not something that you were designed to put on occasionally, or only in times of trouble, or only in times of need. I mean, are you designed to only have that shield of faith when you're in trouble? No, you should walk in faith every single day, you know? Are you designed to be righteous before God and before man? Yeah. I think there's holes in some of my breastplate sometimes, but it's there. Yeah. Am I going to walk in the truth? Or have the belt of truth? Is my helmet of salvation always on? See, we were designed to walk in God's weapon system. God's weapon system on. I want you to, you can open the back of your bulletin, or if you're really, fancy, you can actually open your Bible. And we're going to read through Ephesians now. Because I want to talk a little bit about this armor, and I want you to take new eyes, okay? You have listened to this scripture 150 times, okay? I want you to look for new words. Just like we're doing in teachings, you know, if you come to the small groups, you'll find there's a scripture, and they ask you, what did you notice? And so what I'm trying to do as they give you that scripture is you're trying to see something you've never seen in some of these very familiar scriptures. And so I want you to do the same thing, too. As I read through Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, I want you to do the same thing. And yes, it is that time, Scott. Pull these out. Thank you very much. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Can you repeat that in your brain? Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. No, it's not the person sitting next to you that's the problem. Okay? Or that person you're having an issue with. But against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, I love the word therefore. Whenever that gets thrown in, it means, hey, did you listen to what I said before I said this? Okay? Because of what he just said, therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, not on the day that evil comes, but when it comes, it's coming. You may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Today I'm going to look at that scripture and a couple others in context of, yes, the purpose, power, and practice of prayer. But in context of keeping this idea, just like the Aegeus system, there are things that protect you. There are weapons that you have. There's a strategy to be deployed. Okay? So let's look at those things. First is let me talk to you about the word Aegeus for just a second. You got inside of your bulletin, I actually did an outline. So if you pull that out, you can fill in little blanks as I go along, and I'll tell you what goes in the little blanks sometimes. Sometimes I'll make you reach for it. All right. Aegeus is a Greek word with its genesis in Greek mythology, but it means the realm or the reach of authority or influence. The realm or the reach of our protection, our responsibility. It's a place that we advocate. Think about those words that I've used. Authority, influence, protection, responsibility, advocacy. Those things you have in your realm, in your Aegeus. Okay, we all have our realm that we work within. Now let's think of some of your realms. And you can create a little list down there. And let me ask you this question. What is the Aegeus, the realm of your, fill in the blank, prayer life? Your prayer life. Okay. Number one pops up all the time. There you go. Practically everybody, the first thing you'll think of is... Come on. Somebody say something. Want to see if it works.
Family.
There you go. That's the first thing that pops up in most people's head. That's the first place that you have authority, or influence, or protection, or responsibility, or a place to advocate. And again, this is your list. You hear something that, no, that doesn't apply to me. Just go, oh, no, this isn't. Okay, family. Friends. I was actually praying that you would be delighted last night when the Dodgers came through for you. So I just want you to know that. I was praying for you last night. I had a friend text me last night. I heard part of my sermon or something, and I just got this that said, praying for you. And I'm like, this guy is in the 40 Days of Prayer program somewhere, because this isn't a local guy. Church. And when I say church, I mean people in the church, the building of the church as it's seen worldwide. Remember? The church is all over there. Community. When I say community, I mean the people you see on the street, the ones you hardly know, the ones you wave at, and how many people know a face comes into your mind right now that you just have no clue the name of that person. I spend my life in that fog. You know, do that all the time. Work or school might be something where it's in your realm. It's in you have some influence there. Some project or event that you might be doing. One I'm constantly aware of because I get the daily thing from the presidential prayer team is our government, okay? Our national government. I'm constantly trying to lift that up in prayer because, boy, do we need it. You know, and of course my brain is always out in world missions too because that's where my wife is. So in these realms, on your own power, you have limited influence. I just want to tell you that. There's only one of you. You can only do so much. Okay? I can't fix it all. Okay? As much as we males sometimes like to think, yes, we can fix it all. Yeah. We can't fix it all with our family. We can't fix it all in our community. We can't fix it all at our work. But you know, I love this scripture. This is Ephesians 3:20. God is able to do immeasurably, sink in the word immeasurably for a minute. Immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us. Okay, think about this. And this is what you can write down around it or above it or below it or something. Do you believe in miracles? Do you believe that we serve a God who can make the impossible possible? Do you sincerely believe that? Have you seen the impossible become possible? I know I have. The longer I walk with the Lord, the more I see the impossible become possible. And it's because my weapon system, my shield, and the strategy that is being deployed with it is all within the realm of an almighty God who can do all things in all places at all times throughout the universe, throughout the ages. And where is that power? What does that scripture say? Within you. Jesus says, I have to leave and you're going to do greater things than I have done. And you're like, what? Hold it. How? How do I do greater things? I love this. I love the thing Rick Warren talks about, prayer missiles. He says, the answer is prayer missiles. Do you realize you can pray today and send a prayer missile over to the middle of Africa? You can pray today and affect the life of someone that you don't even know, you just saw on the news, because you have prayer missiles available. You have God's Holy Spirit who moves throughout the earth. He is listening and saying, what do you want to say to me today? And he's prompting you to pray for people you don't even know. Imagine that. So, why do we feel so ineffective sometimes in prayer? It's like I got the God of the universe sitting inside. And I feel like I should be able to do this. And problem, the I should be able to do this. See, God's Spirit within us wants to lead us and guide us. And I'll tell you, the problem with your prayer life right now, it applies to every single one of you across the board. It applies to me. It applies to all of us. Your biggest problem is you don't stop to listen. How many times do you hear your parents say that? If you'd only stop to listen. God tells us that all the time. If you'd only stop to listen. He wants to empower us, but we have to stop to listen to him. So, let me talk to you about the practice of prayer. First of all, put right there under how to get organized, stop and listen. Here you go. Dear Lord, I come before you today to listen. That's how difficult it is. And stop. Listen. Can you do it for 30 seconds? Can you do it for 1 minute? Can you do it for 5 hours? How long can you stop and listen to the God of the universe who wants to let his power work within you and through you and touch you? That's a practical application. Let me give you another practical application. Schedule your prayers. You know, if your prayer life feels faded off, well, do you have some of you have one of these things? Prayer reminders. It's real cool with Siri. You just go, Siri, remind me to pray at 4 o'clock today.
Come on, Siri. Okay, I added it to your reminder for today at $1,600.
Okay. That's how hard it is to schedule prayer in this day and age. My gosh, the thing available to us. Schedule your prayers. Yes, he says, turn your drive time into prayer time. I'm like, okay. We need to discuss that one. So here, I'll throw this one at you. Turn your boat time into prayer time. How many times are you on the boat? And I will tell you, turn your walk time or your few minutes in the cart into prayer time. Look for those opportunities to do that. Set up prayer reminders. A story told about Jack Hayford. And it's really, really kind of funny. You know, Jack Hayford's legacy has, from Church on the Way, has touched the lives of a lot of people. But Buddy was telling a story about going to Jack's house. And Jack said, "Hey, come on out here." He says, "Jack, how have you kept your prayer life vital?" He says, "Well, come on out here." He took him out in his backyard, and there's, you know, it's a kind of big ranch house out in the San Fernando Valley, and walks out, and he says, "See those two trees over there? Yeah? That's Fred and Arthur." "What do you mean it's Fred and Arthur?" "Well, every time I see those two trees, I think of Fred and Arthur, and I pray for them. And you see over there those posts along my back fence? Yeah. Well, the third one's you. Every time I see that third one, I think of you and I pray for you." He turns around and he says, "You see this fountain? Got a fountain running in his yard with a spring of water coming out of it." He says, "That's my Ada. That's my wife. Every time I see that fountain, I remember to pray for her." So do that. Remind you. Things that prompt you to pray at specific times. Pray for drop-in visitors. Now, I don't mean the person that showed up in your home. How many times have you been in a situation where God comes blasting through the noise, and all of a sudden you think of someone just randomly you haven't thought of? You know, you just really haven't thought of them for a while, okay? I want you to do that consciously right now. I just want you to think of someone that you haven't thought of for a while. Okay? Now, would it be really cool... What would be really cool is if you have one of these. Would you pull this out? If you have one of these, if you have a phone with you, would you pull it out, please? It's kind of strange to have a pastor ask you to pull out the phone. Okay. Did you turn your ringer off? Why don't you pull out the phone? Now I want you to think of someone on your contact list. Okay. Think of someone on your contact list. Preferably someone that you really don't think of often. And I just had her come to mind. And I want you to pray for her. We're going to take the next 20 seconds or so, and we're going to pray for whoever God just put into your mind. Bow your head and pray for them silently. And now what I want you to do is I want you to take your phone, I want you to text them, "I just prayed for you." Look on your contact list. Now your contacts. Naomi, where are you? There you are, Naomi. And hit messages. And type in this simple message: "God had me pray for you today." And hit send. "God had me pray for you today." Period. And hit send. Now, if I know God, you're going to get some neat responses back to that as time goes along. You're going to get some neat responses back from some people going, "Hey, what's going on? Why'd you pray for me?" You tell them, "The pastor made us." It's fine. I don't care. Holy Spirit made it. Whatever you want to do. But I'd love to hear your stories if you get a response to that. Okay? How many people did that for me? How many people? Come on, raise your hand for me. Let me know you actually did it. Okay. Okay. All right. I'm looking for some response. Okay. John, Ephesians 1:16. Put those up for me, Gail, would you? Scriptures. Gail? Oh, Ephesians 3 scriptures on one of the screens. No? Not finding it? No, not there? Okay. I lost. Here you go. John, Ephesians 1:16 for me. You're fast. Wait, hang on just a second. Wayne, 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 2. See how you do? John, you were quick, so I'm going to have you do Philemon 1:4 also. Philemon. Philemon 1, verse 4. Remember, mention, remember you. Depending upon your translation, you'll hear mention a lot. You don't have to pray for people for long periods of time. You see someone on the street, pray for them. You see somebody, you think of somebody, pray for them. It can be 5 seconds. Mention them in your prayers. Okay? And by the way, how often do we pray? Always. But we pray specifically as God calls us to it. We live in a state of prayer. All right, let's go to James 5:16. What kind of prayer is the most powerful? We've looked at the purpose of prayer to implement our strategy from Ephesians. You know, he tells you about all this armor, and then he tells you to pray at all times. We've looked at a few practices that might help. Now I want to talk about the power that he calls in prayer. Excuse me. Okay. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. If you turn your Bible to James 5, you'll be glad you did. James 5:16. And you notice I have a little B after that, because this particular scripture is like the last half of that verse. There's three words in there that I want you to look at. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Okay, how many of you, as soon as you hear it, think, oh man, I'm not that righteous, does that mean my prayer isn't very powerful or effective? How many of you have your brain go that way? You don't got to raise your hand. I'll raise mine. Where does my righteousness come from? Jesus Christ. I am a righteous man. You, if you have given your heart to Jesus Christ and He is your Lord and Savior, you are a righteous woman or a righteous man. Okay? You are not some fallen sinner that God can't use. And why bother to even pray? Because your sin has so overtaken you. Think for a second. Jesus taught him to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. What comes next? What? On earth as it is in heaven. Give us what? Our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Does Jesus teach? Okay, first thing you have to do is you got to ask God to forgive you. And then you can ask him for what you need. No, matter of fact, he teaches just the opposite. See, because your righteousness is there because of Christ, not because of your actions or the things you do or the way you live or the way you think or anything else like that. Your righteousness that is powerful, able to call on powerful and effective tools, those tools that are in your weapon system, your righteousness is given to you by Christ. Live in it. Do not live in Satan's lie that says, you are such a sinner, God would never listen to you. Because he's telling you that right now. And he's lying to you. He is a liar. And if he can keep you from listening to God, he can keep you from praying for others, then you will be ineffective. The best things in the world to read is the Screwtape Letters. I love the Screwtape Letters because it talks about the devil's schemes. Talks about him and how he just tries to delude us into in so many different ways. Get a chance to read C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters. See, if we're righteous, God has made us upright, deserving of all that we get. Hey, we get heaven. Now, does that mean that the way we live our lives doesn't affect our lives? Yeah. If we live in unrighteous ways, we're going to reap unrighteous fruit. But in terms of our prayer, oh boy, he's listening to you. Because before him, you are righteous. Your acts that we feel are unrighteous don't affect our relationship with God. They affect our relationship with ourselves and the world around us. Because before God, we stand as righteous in The Greek word used for powerful in there is one that's energeo. I looked it up. It means energized by the power of God. It refers to supernatural empowerment. Remember back the verse where you had something and someone that's able to do far beyond what you can even ask or imagine? That God is living in you today, right now. And it is effective. Like the Aegeus system, you are a force to be reckoned with because you have the full armor of God. And in the spiritual realm, when you walk in full battle gear, they are running. The demons hide. Getting ready to come into Halloween season, and, you know, it's all ghosty and everything else, and I've always felt Halloween was just Satan's way to deceive us into thinking, oh no, there isn't any real demons or anything else like that, because we're too smart to go for all that ghost stuff and etc. You know, it might be spooky, but it's just something to play around with. And so they exist, not in the way Halloween depicts them, but they exist and they are after you. Do you have your armor on? Hope you do. Keep your armor on. Do you have that shield up? Hope you do. I want to show you James 5:16a. I'm going to take you through a couple quick scriptures here. James 5:16a. Turn your Bible to James 5:16. Okay? Because we just read about the prayers of a righteous man, right, are powerful and effective. Turn to James 5:16 and tell me in what context that is. We've only got a few minutes to wrap up here, so. All right, when you're powerful and effective, are you sitting by yourself? No. What? Read all of 16 for me. Yeah. See, your power is effective because you are part of Christ's body. Ecclesiastes 4. Dale, can you put that up? Did I actually succeed in getting that up there? Okay, that's interesting. John, go click on one of the other screens and then come back, right, John? Although it looks kind of cool over the armor if I had done it in black. It's all so much smarter than I am. Okay.
Also, if two lie down together,
they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? The one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. What was before that?
The other part of that.
Okay. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other. But pity the one who falls down has no one to help them. See, God didn't design you to be a lone prayer warrior. God did not design you. You were not meant to be an army of one. I'm a warrior. My friend Steve gave me this little armor of God thing that I have up on my bookshelf. I call him Michael every time I walk in there. Every time I walk in the office, he's staring straight at me. And I look at this little armor of the God. And I'm thinking, itty bitty little armor. Wow. Miraculously empowered. Just kind of like me and us. But see, God didn't want you to do it alone. Matthew 18:20. Anybody know what it says? Where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst of them. God did not mean you to live a solitary prayer life. God meant you to pray with others. God wants you to be a powerful and effective force in His army. You were not meant to be an army of one. You were made to be together as one serving in God's army. You were made to be together as one serving in God's army. I want to share one more scripture with you. And this is from Hebrews 4:16. So let us then come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive His mercy and we'll find grace when we need it most. The more you approach God, the more He empowers prayer. Okay? If Satan can keep you from approaching God, he any message for you today? I'll sum it up this way. You have the shield. Okay? You have the shield. And you have the weapons. Okay? Ain't nothing going to get past that shield. Ain't nothing going to get past that helmet. Ain't nothing going to get past that breastplate. Ain't nothing going to harm your feet. You've got that sword. You've got that weapon. But He dwells within each one of us. And we were meant to fight as an army. We were not meant to fight solo. All right. Here's where... How did Robert Morris put this? He says, oh, you're meddling again. Okay, I'm meddling again. So 40 days of prayer, small groups, were worth coming to. We got a whole bunch of options for 40 days of prayer, small groups. I watched miracles happen this week out of the 40-day prayer groups. There's your options. You can keep fighting solo. You want to keep fighting solo?
Or maybe you're not.
Another good prayer. Pray with your partner. Pray with your wife. Pray with your children. Boy, I'll tell you, my wife, if I forget to pray any particular night and call her and pray, or if we don't get connected even while she's in Haiti, oh yeah, I feel lonely. This body, this body contains. Urge you to do so. I'm going to ask you to approach God more. He might empower your prayers more.
We're going to close today
with the most effective prayer there is. And why do I know it's the most effective prayer there is? Because Jesus taught it to us. And how many times do we say it like it has no power? I want you with fresh ears. I want you with a fresh voice. I want you with a fresh heart to realize that as you pray this prayer, as you begin this prayer, you are wielding all of that armor and doing what God called. Davis. Our Father, join me, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.